preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ear away from the truth. This is the great problem the New Testament is exposing, and it's really showing us why we need good leadership. It's helping us understand why we need pastors, elders, and deacons. The Lord has given to His church leadership. And that is one of His great gifts, to protect the flock from all error and to guard us in righteousness. This is such an important subject in the New Testament. Today we're looking at Acts chapter 20 and Paul's address to the Ephesian elders, calling them to guard the flock of Jesus. Such an important passage that we will consider today on Abounding Grace Radio. Thanks for tuning into the program. Please visit us at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook. Find us on Twitter at agradio1. On Facebook, it's Abounding Grace Radio. That website is agradio.org. There's many articles and resources there for you. All of these programs are free there for download. Do please visit that website. And if you can support Abounding Grace, 100% of your support goes to continue to take the gospel to Africa. What a remarkable opportunity that we have. Out of Zambia, we air omnidirectional, is the transmitter that covers the continent. What a blessing to be able to air throughout Africa, the U.S., and in Canada. So your help is very much, we're grateful for. You can do that right online at aagradio.org. Here is now the program, The Most Underrated Speech in Church History. This is part one from Acts chapter 20. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Well, I have titled my message this morning, The Most Underrated Speech in Christian History, because the very things that are expressed here, the very things that are laid out for you here in defending the gospel and in protecting the sheep, in doing all of these things, these are the things that people despise most today about Christianity. This is what's hard about this. The warfare that's here described for us, and the battle arms that leadership is supposed to take against all kinds of falsehood and all kinds of false ideas, and nothing about it in our day, everything about it in our day would be characterized as not being nice. Being arrogant. This is the challenge of this particular passage. Under the banner of love, no one really ever disagrees much with anyone anymore. We're tired of fighting. We're tired of the two things that we always say, religion and politics. We're just tired of all the division. I mean it. I get it. It is just wearisome. It weighs on all of us. It's hard to even think about, are you kidding? We still have to continue in this? This is the sense of this and the struggle of this in our culture, where the devil has brought every kind of divide under the sun that he can possibly do among peoples, among groups, among ethnicities, among races, among sexes, everything. It's all in front of us. Every kind of division we know. But it still doesn't remove the responsibility of what's here. John Stott is absolutely correct when he says, our neglect in the church today to refute error is the single great reason for all the theological confusion. I totally agree with that. Our neglect to combat error and to just be nice is the reason it's a mess. This is what he's saying. And I fully agree that unity is achieved through vigilance. Unity is achieved through people who really care about the truth. And that's why the church is so divided. We've had a bunch of people who've said, let's just not fight, everybody should get along, and we should never say anybody's wrong. That's our day. This is the challenge of this. But here we see a pastor's heart, don't we? Paul will never see these people again on earth. The next time he sees them is in glory. And you start to think, well, what is on his mind as he leaves? Did they just have a picnic and have a good time, pull the jumpy things out? What did they do? What was his burden? He had labored there 3 years. He had worked hard there 3 years preaching. It wasn't just coming to church once a week in 20 minutes and hearing a message. He was preaching all the time. These people were so hungry for the word. These people were starving for the gospel. So when you come to Paul and he has one last moment, one last burden with these Ephesian elders, what do you think he's going to say? What do you expect him to say? Well, we can all summarize. They can be summarized here that Paul was calling the church very clearly, as the New Testament does, to contend earnestly for the faith, the deposit of the truth that's been handed to us, to guard the watch, to protect the flock, to be willing to lose your life for it, to be willing to die for the truth of the gospel so that the sheep would be saved. And this gives us... What I love about this particularly today, which I think we really need in the church today, is it really does give us a window into what the faithful ministry of the church looks like and what we should be striving for. That's why this is important today. There really shouldn't be confusion as to what is a faithful ministry and what is not. And here it's really laid out for us. Here you have the greatest passage that helps us to understand that, to appreciate that. So we're looking at Paul's address this morning to the Ephesian elders, where he provides them here a testimony first of how he behaved among them. He then expresses his concern for what would happen when he leaves them, and then he gives them a charge, you'll notice here, in how to keep Christ's flock in his absence. So this is very important, his testimony, his concern, and his charge. In verse 13, you'll notice here, Luke is providing us a fast overview of Paul's travels from Troas, as we looked at last time where he was when Eutychus fell out the window, to Miletus here. And the sense you get is that Luke is rushing, just as Paul is rushing over all of these details, because Luke wants us to feel it is Paul's desire to get to Jerusalem. He wants to be there on the day of Pentecost. We'll come back to that, why that's important. That's coming. We're in Jerusalem next. So he arrives at Miletus wanting to sail past Ephesus to arrive in Jerusalem, but something is really heavy on his mind. Something is really concerning him. Here's a pastor. This is a really good passage to study a pastor and then to realize yourself as you're studying the Apostle Paul how much you fail as a pastor and have to confess, because this is one guy who is all up at night worried about the churches. Remember he said that? Of all the things that I take, all the beatings, all the shipwrecks, all the hardships, all the lashes, 40 minus one from the Jews, there's one thing that burdens me most. It is my anxiety always for the church, the churches. Constantly carrying this, constantly worried about the churches in the right way, concerned for them. So you'll notice here that here he is thinking about Ephesus. Ephesus was a strategic church. Ephesus was an important church. And you'll remember all the problems that were in Ephesus. This was one church full of many challenges in a culture that was so outwardly godless and so outwardly demonic. You remember the idolatry. Yes, Athens had its problems with idolatry, but you sure got a sense when you walked into Ephesus of the presence of the occult. You sure got a sense of how dark it was there. Amulets were everywhere. Remember the problems of Alexander, Demetrius, and all of these guys who were selling these things, making great money off these things. And Paul had wrecked their whole ministry in Ephesus. So this was a major blow to the industry in Ephesus that was an idolatrous industry. And it had caused an entire riot. They were really tapping into the demonic realm, inviting the demonic realm, going into the demonic realm and inviting its power. They are coming after Christians. All of us sitting here are about to be tested. Where are you? It's coming. Can't you see it? It's coming. Your persecution's coming. God had strategically placed a church there in this key city of opposition that was crucial for the fulfillment of the gospel to go out to the ends of the earth. So, in the midst of all of this darkness, the gospel was prevailing. But how is the gospel prevailing? This is what Paul's having us think about. How is this gospel going to be kept? They have labored, they've given themselves, but they know their time's short. We're already getting a sense. Paul knows his days are numbered, and the gospel has to go on. And that gospel has been carried to you all the way in 2019. But what was it that carried the gospel? What was it that preserved the gospel in a culture like that? And what will in a culture like ours? Well, Paul, what he does here is of immense importance for the church of all ages. Immense importance. He is at Miletus, and he calls for the Ephesian elders. He is so set on Jerusalem. He says, before I go, I've got to get them in front of me. I've got to talk to them. You'll notice here that they're also called shepherds. They're also called overseers. You know that when the churches were established in the New Testament, the command of the apostles was to establish elders in every city in the churches. So this is the model that we have. We believe strongly in the model, the three-office view of pastor, elder, and deacon. Here we're focused here on this leadership and the elders and the pastors in Ephesus. You'll notice here they were to be shepherds of the flock, and Paul is concerned of how that shepherding would go in his absence. So this is an important moment here. What Paul essentially does is begin with his own testimony. And this makes us a little bit uncomfortable because we're oftentimes the Lord puts people in our lives who are great blessings to us, who are mentors to us. I've had many along the way, and none of them have ever come along and said, hey, imitate me. But the New Testament is showing us with the apostles that they would commonly say this. You need to look at the examples of godly leaders that are in front of you and imitate them. Look at those whom God has put in your life. Look at those whom the Spirit has worked in and study them and imitate what they're doing. And Paul is motivating the Ephesian elders to look at him and carry forward the baton as it's being handed off in the ministry, that they would do the same as he did. So here we are. Paul says a bunch of things here about himself that are very important, doesn't he? It's his testimony. It's a beautiful testimony. Look what he says there. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, that I lived a certain way with all humility. I wasn't out coveting silver and gold. I wasn't out trying to get rich, he's saying. That was not why I went in the ministry. I don't account my life of any value. Listen to the statement. Nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You know, in Philippians 3, he says that I have counted everything as lost for Christ. You ever thought what he lost? I'll tell you what he lost for the truth. Status. In our day, book writing contracts, notoriety, all of the great theologians of the day rejected him and trashed him everywhere. He had no popularity. It was all gone. He probably lost the family inheritance. It was all gone. There was nothing left that this man had for the gospel, and he gave it all away. For the gospel, I counted all as loss, all that, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ and to give that truth. Everything. This is such a challenge for us today because we're all trying to go into this, especially leadership and those who are pastors. We all face a temptation. We want a name for ourselves. We want to be writers. We want to be known. Paul counted it all loss. It was never about him. It was never about his name. And we're awestruck in the Reformed world with our stars. We treat them like gods. Notice what he says. You know I would have died for all this. You know I believe this so much, I'd die for it. My life modeled that I would lose my life for the sake of the gospel. When in Philippians, at the beginning, he gave his entire perspective on life and in death. He made an amazing statement. You know, it really would be far better to be with the Lord. There's a test, right? If I had a choice, I'd go now. But you know what? Necessity is laid upon me to remain here in the body because it's more necessary for you. Now, I think we all should emulate that. I'm here for you. I'm not here for me. And then you realize, I fail. We all fail. I haven't been good at this. But it's what I'm striving for. It's what we should strive for. This is how the church is built. This is how the gospel goes forward. This is how we're called to love. I'm willing to go through all the suffering and pain, not knowing right now what's held out for me. The only thing the Holy Spirit has told me is that wherever I go, chains await me. Persecution, suffering awaits me. How'd you like that calling? That's a pastor's heart. It really is. When we fail, this is what we're striving for as leaders. This is what we're striving for as leaders in Christ Church. So here, we're looking at this, and then we're thinking, you know, in light of our day and the challenges of ministry and all the scandals we've seen for material home, that we have to fight. We have to fight that the ministry is not about what this life is not about getting a good home, getting a good retirement, having a comfortable life, because when we're pursuing that as leaders, then we're going to be less willing to contend for the truth. That's the issue. When you speak the truth, you put yourself at risk. It's hard. I would never say anyone should speak the truth as a jerk. But when you speak the truth, you're putting yourself at risk in love. So this is what we're looking at here, and that's exactly what he says. Listen, I did not shrink the whole time. I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable. I gave the law and the gospel is what he's saying. And teaching you in public and from house to house, I testify to this day, I am innocent. This is Ezekiel. He's done his job. I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. If it was in the book, I said it. If it was inspired by God throughout the scriptures, I said it. If it was given to me by the Holy Spirit in the spoken word out of the apostolic mouth, I said it. It's one of my favorite verses for the ministry, really. It's the Lord saying when Samuel began his prophetic ministry that the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. That word in Jeremiah's heart was like a burning fire he had to speak. This is the heart of the servant, to say what the truth is with a good conscience. When you speak the truth, you put yourself at risk. If you want to ask and say, well, we shouldn't be so black and white, tell John the Baptist that. Hey, you can't have your brother's wife cost head on a platter. But he gained everything. You understand why it's important? It's because it's easy every week to come together in the body of Christ and give you just what itching ears want to hear. That's what we would love to do, make everyone feel good and happy. I've often thought, when Jesus was preaching in John 6, he had so offended the whole crowd, he turns around and he says to his disciples, did I offend you? Are you offended? Why would he say that? Because his words were so penetrating to the heart. They were dividing, as the word does, joints and marrow. They were pulling people. They would not let neutrality be. Jesus had a greater goal. It has led to the problem in Christian ministry today that so many don't give any warnings anymore. We've even in some ways counted warnings as legalistic. Everyone will love you if your ministry is about petting the sheep. But if you're willing to fight for the truth and contend for the truth in love, you put yourself at risk. Every martyr who has ever been martyred for the faith did it because they spoke the truth. Went through it because they spoke the truth. Jesus died on the cross the whole way saying, are you mad at me? Do you want to kill me? Because I spoke the truth. See, Paul says thirdly, that it wasn't just speaking the truth for truth's sake, it was speaking the truth with a goal. You see it? Why are we doing it? Because we are testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm keeping the goal of what we're doing. We're leading people to repentance. We're leading people to turn away from themselves and be saved, to come to Jesus and be saved. That's the goal of all of this. This was the goal of preaching. This was the goal of the ministry. This was the goal of what they were doing. And Paul knew that if there was never any speaking of the truth in this way, you'd make a lot of people comfortable on their way to hell. You'd make a lot of people comfortable on their way to hell. Now, this is the overview of the testimony. This is important. It's the aspiration that we should have in going into the ministry, the motivations, and what we want to be, what we want to strive to be. But I want you to notice here now that the question of why he's rehearsing this now, he's laying before them the great concern. What is the great concern? Look what he says in verse 9. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. That is the alert. That is the trumpet. What is Satan actively and always working to do is send in wolves. They work hard from the outside, and then they worm their way in and work from the inside. When Jesus was dealing with wolves, and when Jesus, that passage in John chapter 9 and 10, where one of his sheep was just beat to a pulp by the Pharisees, who were the wolves, it was really interesting what Jesus did right after that. He said something that I think is so helpful in this context. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Listen to this. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Destroy what? You. To steal you, to kill you, and to destroy you. He was such a shepherd. He is such a shepherd. He's the head of the church. And he says, I'm the good shepherd that laid down my life for the sheep. There's one goal in all attacks that go on today. And everything that if you have to filter through all the stuff happening in society, you have to filter through all the challenges in the church, there is one thing that is constantly happening and one thing that you have to be aware with your three sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and the flesh. There's one thing that is desperately trying to happen in your life that the devil is trying to do. You know what it is? Pull you away from Jesus. That is always going on. He's working to do it. Pull you out of the church, to pull you into a sinful lifestyle, to pull you away from the truth, to wreck your life, and to destroy you. Understand that? Understand that's always happening? Well, Paul is rehearsing this great concern. They are actively, there's always an active undermining and working to pull you away. And the gospel is all about reconciling you to God. The gospel is all about bringing you to faith and helping you through this life and giving you salvation. And wolves hate it. Wolves want nothing to do with it. Wolves don't believe it. Here's the greatest challenges. They come in from among us.
Thank you for
listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.